Friends, my name's Dean. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to read two short passages for us before Andrew comes to explain the message to us. First one's Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, and that's on page 1332 of the Church Bible, if you want to use that. Otherwise, it's up on the screen. Micah 6, verses 6 to 8, page 1332. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The second reading is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. That's on page 1385. 1385. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen.
Well, is it just me, or did Christmas sort of creep up on us this year? It felt like we were locked down through a long, long winter, and then suddenly, bang, it's the middle of December, we got to get ready for Christmas. Did anyone feel like that? Anyway, it's been a busy last week or so, but let me tell you, Christmas shopping is officially over. If you didn't get what you needed by about 5 p.m. last night, too bad, because today the shops are pretty much closed. Now, of course, we know that Christmas is not just about buying stuff. We know that there's too much commercialism and all of that. But still, at its best, gift shopping is an exercise in thinking about others. Because when you go shopping for a gift, what do you have to do? You have to think about who they are. You have to think about what they like. You have to think about what is it that will be helpful for them and bring a smile to their face. Well, now that the shopping is over, perhaps this morning we can just stop for a moment and think about God. And think about what he might want from us this Christmas. Does he want us to sing carols? Does he want us to enjoy roast turkey? Does he want us to hang up lights and break bonbons? What does he want? Actually, that's pretty close to the question that was raised in the passage we just read from the prophet Micah. Micah was someone who taught about 700 years before the coming of Jesus. And where we read Micah chapter 6, verse 6, this is what he said. He said, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God?" Micah really has this sense that if I'm going to draw near to God, I have to bring something. I'm sure most of you have had the experience where you've been at Christmas lunch or some Christmas gathering and you suddenly realize, oh no, I've gone and I've arranged gifts for every person in this room, except I forgot Auntie Marjorie. Aussies have put something like $19 billion through the cash registers this Christmas. Can we really afford to forget our Creator? But what? What should we get Him? What does He want? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Micah asks. Remember, in those days, offerings of animals or oil is all part of religious worship. So is that what God wants from us this Christmas? Does He want us to be here and worshiping Him? Well, it's not a bad start. But you get the impression here that this on its own is not enough. Because Micah is aware that when he comes before God, he comes as someone who is a sinner. That in his life, he has failed to obey God in so many ways. And he's failed to love God, and he's failed to let God have His proper place. And for Micah, this isn't a small problem. This isn't something that we can just sort of pretend hasn't happened. It's a big problem. And so Micah thinks, okay, what is the most valuable thing that I could possibly give to God? Oh, there's nothing more precious to me than my own son. And so Micah says, shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But that's not what God wants. And we get the impression that even that wouldn't be enough, not enough to cancel out my sins. So what does God want? Well, He's told us, hasn't He? Verse 8, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If you've been coming along to this church in the last month, you'll know that when Micah talks about acting justly, he's not just talking about us individually avoiding naughty things. He's actually also talking about us promoting what is right and fair for everyone around us. It includes being willing to speak up for the voiceless and stand up for the powerless. And to love mercy, when he says he wants us to love mercy, it shows that, okay, what God wants is not just about our actions, what happens on the outside. What God wants is also on the inside, for us to be aligned to love what He loves and delight what He delights in. And to walk humbly with God. It means that instead of living the kind of life where we demand God fits in with our program, instead we're content to go along with His program. So if you want God to fit in with your program, you will go through life cranky at God. But to be humble is to accept where He leads and what He asks. And so, is this the answer? Is this what God wants from us this Christmas? Is this what we should package up and hand over to Him this morning? Is the meaning of Christmas that we all need to try a bit harder? to have some more justice and some more mercy and some more humility in our lives. Well, we're getting closer, but no, we're not quite there yet. Because we read just a few verses, but if we'd read the whole chapter, we would see that the point of this chapter is, hey, yes, this is what God requires, but we haven't got it. We have fallen so far short of the justice and the mercy and the humility that God requires. Because let's be realistic. Sometimes we do the right thing, but do we consistently act justly? Do we truly love mercy? Or if you're anything like me, you can sometimes be cold-hearted and just a bit desensitized to the hardships of others. And isn't it true that instead of walking humbly with God, we're so easily proud? It's almost like it's Christmas Day, we haven't got a suitable gift, and the shops are closed. See, if we want to make sense of the message of Christmas, we need to accept that this is what the situation of humanity is. But of course, the key message of Christmas is not actually about what we have managed to give God. Christmas is all about the gift that He has managed to give us. Because it's not us who give up our firstborn, it's Him who gave up His firstborn. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Christmas is about a God who loved us, knowing that we've failed at justice and mercy and humility, but He persevered in His love for us anyway. He loved us by sending His Son, by giving that greatest gift that it's possible to give. And here's the thing, go read about the life of God's Son. We read a little snippet of Jesus' life from the book of Matthew, where Jesus welcomed the tax collectors and the sinners who came to Him. And that's just a tiny little sample of a life which was full of justice and full of mercy and full of humility. A life which Jesus lived in our place. Let me tell you what my family got me for Christmas this year. They got me actually exactly what I wanted. Because my wife asked me a few weeks ago, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And I told her, and she got it. It wasn't a big surprise, but that's okay. I actually just really appreciate my wife is expressing her love. She wants to give me something I like. Now, if I tell you what it is, I don't know, you may or may not find it exciting, but I can't wait to sit down and play with it. Because what my family got me for Christmas is some Bible software. And here's another funny thing. I kind of also knew it was coming because it was paid for with my credit card. That's just sort of how we're, you know, like how we're organized. And that's fine. But isn't this just something like what God has done for us? Isn't it that in sending Jesus to live in our place, that God has prepared the perfect gift? He's wrapped it up. He's left it there for us. And He says, when you come to Me, if you want to make Me happy, then the thing I really want you to bring in your hands is Jesus. I want you to come trusting Him as your Savior and following Him as your Lord. God says, if you're holding on to him, then you're okay with me. When the music team were presenting that song for us before, I jotted down one of the lyrics. Come, though you have nothing, Christ is the offering. Now, of course, if we are coming to God, holding on to Jesus, if we're recognizing that it's only through him that we can get right with God and please God, how will we want to live? How will we want to live in response to a God who so loved us, who gave his son for us, even when we were unjust and unmerciful and proud? How will we want to live? Well, remember, he's told us what he likes. He loves justice. He loves mercy. He loves it when we walk humbly with him. So today we stop and we give thanks and we celebrate his gift to us. And then we start a new year, and let it be a year where we act with kindness and compassion to those around us who are mistreated. Let this be a year where we patiently welcome the sinner who is seeking a new life. Let this be a year where we're content with whatever circumstances God is going to provide for us. Let's pursue justice and mercy and humility as we celebrate God's great gift to us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your overflowing love and generosity. That Jesus came, was born, lived, died for us. We trust him, we worship him now as our risen Saviour. Oh Lord, our world needs the justice and the mercy and the humility of Jesus' kingdom. Let his kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come in our lives and our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.